priesthood of all believers. I must confess that when this assignment was given to me, I was very scared. I was a little nervous. And I understood I had to study more. I had to pray a lot. And I have to experience in myself what the Bible was teaching about it. By God's grace, this was March break, so couldn't be better. We had this renovation taking place at the back of the church, so all my ministry was kind of not having, so we are not having those. And my wife is right now preaching at Charisma Church, and I was going to preach here, so we both agreed, let's take this week into the Word of God. And I really enjoyed this time. So whatever I say, whatever God allow me to preach, or whatever I read, I hope that God bless your heart as He has blessed mine. And if at the end you don't get much what I try to say, I hope the Holy Spirit will put a lesson in your heart by the text that is going to be read. And by His own power, He can do that. Hopefully, all of us can come in fellowship with Him as He is the high priest, the priest of our God, enables us to be priests as well. I won't read the text. We can go because it was just read. Isn't it amazing? So with that read, that's what we're going to starting with. Understanding the high priest of Jesus Christ, His priesthood in His ministry and in our life. Interesting that in the grade 11th, down in Brazil, I was tested unexpectedly to understand or to know more about my personality traits. I've never heard about it. It was a special course everybody had to have. We were under the military dictatorship of Brazil, so we all need to know, like in a communism, it's different, but the same idea. You have to know right there, since you were a kid, and then later on, what your vocation is. So I was put to test. I wasn't a born-again Christian. I was only 60 years old of age. A very shy kid, though some people don't believe I am very shy. I loved math and science. I was inclined to go to do majors or engineering or physics. And then the results come up telling me that I should go for military service or priesthood ministry or priestly ministry. Where on earth a Brazilian kid want to go to war? Or who'd spend all his life in the temple being a priest? Of course, I didn't accept it for the next 10 years. I wish I would make the time easier for me. But this is what I'm going to talk about. All of us, being Christ, has a vocation to serve as priests according to Jesus' way. And I want to focus on this second theme, the function or office of Jesus Christ as priest. So let us learn about His priesthood and our priestly ministry. The priesthood of Christ gives us full access to God the Father, enabling us to have an intimacy with Him, at the same time allowing us to intercede and bless others. This is my purpose of preaching this morning. In order to better understand the permanent priestly ministry of Jesus, we should be reminded of the temporary one in the Leviticus or Levitical system. What happened in the past was pivotal to understand the present. So let us first try to understand the ministry in the past. So the priesthood in the order of Aaron. This is we can read, you can follow in the screen. This is one of the samples, one of the examples of many others that are in Leviticus, and you can find in the Old Testament, especially Numbers, Levitical, Exodus. The Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting. He said, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, when anyone among you brings an offering to the Lord, bring as your offering an animal from either the herd or the flock." And in these verses, they are going to speak about the ones from the herd, followed by the ones from the flock, and then for the high priest. So it's so complex. I'm just taking this as an example. If the offering is burnt offering from the herd, you are to offer a male without defect. You must present it at the entrance to the tent of the meeting so that it will be acceptable to the Lord. You are to lay your hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted on your behalf to make atonement for you. You are to slaughter the young bull before the Lord, and Aaron's sons, the priests, shall bring the blood and splash it against the sides of the altar at the entrance to the tent of the meeting. You are to skin the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. The sons of Aaron, the priests, are to put fire on the altar and arrange wood on the fire. Then Aaron's sons, the priests, shall arrange the pieces, including the head and the fat, on the wood that is burning on the altar. You are to wash the internal organs and the legs with water, and the priest is to burn all of it on the altar. It is a burnt offering, a food offering, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. Once more, Lord, we pray and thank you for the teachings all around your word that let us come close to you. We know as sinners, we would never be able to come to your presence without being destroyed, fulminated, because of the separation we have. But in Christ, as we have sung, as we have heard, as we have read, we have access direct to you. And we thank you for the shadows of the past, for all the instructions that were given to us. That doesn't make that lower, but make it temporarily in order to show us how you are so great, so lovely, and so holy. In your name, in the Jesus name we pray, amen. So in contrast to the prophet that we just heard last week, that address the congregation in God's name, the priest appears before God as a spokesman and representative of God's people. So it's the other way around. The prophet were to speak from God's perspective, God's word, God's wisdom to us, and also his demands. And the priest side is when somebody represents us, bring us to God on his behalf. We know that the big problem of humanity and also all religion is how do people come close to God? This is all has been the struggle. But the humanity somehow got it very early that they cannot come to the presence of God the way they are. Somehow. Someone or something should be between them, because we are not good enough to come to God's presence. Neither we can offer him our gifts, because they will be imperfect to God's pattern. In most religions, you will find the idea, in the past, but even today, somehow some kind of idea of sacrifice. So make the long story short, in order to facilitate it, God himself created a system to help us out. He made a way that we could come to him, access him, and then he established the system of the priest according to this tribe of Levi or the Levites. They would be chosen from one of the Jacob's sons, one of the 12 tribes, the Levi. He created a very complex and perfect system. So I was blessed by reading again all the complexity of it and try to understand why those were there. Those were chosen to take care of the tabernacle, of the sacrifice, and of the service of divine worship. They were responsible for the worship service, and they wouldn't do anything else except that. Imagine that the only thing you would do in your life would be to take care of God's house, his worship, the sacrifice, the prayer, and also the cleaning of it. Maybe that was the idea when they said, you have to be priest. I knew, at least in my Catholic way, what priest meant. So I says, how can I be a kid and spend 24 hours only doing that? But that was their job. At least every male from this tribe of 30 years of age, they should serve for the rest of their lives. That was the idea. So make the long story short, God chose the Levites to take his priest to be in charge of the service of the house of the Lord. They will receive the gifts of the people. And those things are very important because I'm just summing up and summary of it to understand our role as Christians. But those were responsible for that time. All the gifts of the people, their prayers, they would be represented before God. They would pray that God would forgive their sins, the sins of the people. And they were responsible to receive the offering and bless them. God would take care of their needs through them, protect them, make them prosper through the mediation of the priests. Of course, God also established a high priest. And the high priest, you know, probably most of you know, you have read, was the only one who would have a private access to God in the Holy of Holies. And that place that was different from any other furniture of that tabernacle and then later on the temple had a veil to separate everything else from God's presence, symbolized by the Ark of the Alliance, the covenant, for the two tablets of the law, and for the angels that were somehow symbolizing God's presence, made by gold, one faced the other. On that place, on that top, they called the propitiatory, was where the blood that only the high priest would bring it in after the burnt sacrifice to be sparkling, to be put on that, in order to forgive sins, in order to make the peace with the wrath of God for the people. Actually, all the national matters of Israel was put in there to this high priest. And then we come to understand. We heard that Jesus became our high priest. Jesus, by an oath, was appointed even higher than Moses, even higher than all these Levitical priests, even higher than the higher priest, once for all, to come in God's presence, offering a sacrifice that was himself, and as well interceding for us and for all people once for all. So all those figures of the past was type. were shadow, were necessary to put in order for us to understand how short we were from God's glory, how incapable we were to have fellowship with God that is holy, how we need a system to understand how God is holy, how God is great. There is no sin in His presence, but we can access Him through His way. So He made that temporarily the way people could reach Him. Very costly, very hard work, very dangerous, because if the high priest was not well cleaned and would took a week, the most costly sacrifice was for the high priest and the priests. Very long hours of cleansing, but all shadow of what was to come. Types of the antitype, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. So when we come to the New Testament, we find out that Jesus fulfilled all that once and for all. The priesthood of Christ, Jesus our priest. Let me read the scriptures. And I have, you know, put some in ahead in front of the others just to make the text shorter. But you can find it in your Bible in Hebrews 11:11-28, and I'm going to read some verse of it. Now, if perfection had been attained through the Levitical priesthood, let me confess, I was always reading it wrongly. In my way of understanding, because we have grace, because we have the Holy Spirit already, because we know the work that God has done in our heart, because we think, oh, those difficult things, so much complex, I always, maybe wrongly, my own thinking of Paul understanding that was not that. I thought, oh, those are garbage. Oh, those are unnecessary. Oh, those things, they are outdated. Why I need to know? But when I read it, somehow God showed me. Now, if perfection had been attained through the Levitical, oh, he's saying, was perfect, was attained, was possible. But what the Jewish that didn't accept Jesus did not understand, that they were temporary. They were, in a human perspective, the best they could do. They were established by God, but in the end of the day, neither the sacrifice was perfect, neither the man, but the system that was allowed to bring God's people to His presence, according to this text, was perfect, was attainable through the Levitical systems. For under it, the people received the law. What further need would there have been for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek, rather than one named after the order of Aaron? So that was perfect, but much better the ones that are not under the law, who comes not under Aaron. The Lord has sworn and will not change His mind. Thou art a priest forever. But He holds His priesthood permanently, different than the other, because He continues forever. Who? Jesus. Who was born, lived, died, raised from the dead, and is living in the right hand of God. So that's why His priest is forever. So when you see Jesus today, I hope you remember His prophet. And I hope you remember He's still a priest forever, with all the functions to bring people in, all the functions to clean us up, all the functions of interceding for us, being our Redeemer. But He holds His priesthood permanently because He continues forever. Consequently, He's able for all time to save those who draw near to God through Him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, blameless, unstained, separated from sinners, exalted above the heavens. He has no need, differently than the high priest or the priests. They had to pay for their own sins. But he has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifice daily. No, his life is already a sacrifice with a pleased aroma to the Lord. First for his own sins and then for those of the people. He did this once for all when he offered up himself. Indeed, the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests, but the word of an oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. Tim Keller, understanding this, says that Jesus was the ultimate priest, for he stood in our place and sacrificially bore our burdens and sin. And he now brings us into God's presence. Therefore, holy brethren, or brothers, who share in a heavenly call, consider Jesus, the apostle and the high priest of our confession. Interesting, and I don't have the time to explore all of that, but it would be wonderful, Pastor Paul, if one day we would study the Hebrew letter, if you haven't, for a whole year, maybe. But the Hebrew writer, who was also converted from the Judaism to the Christianity, he saw that the Jewish Christian, at least, they were being tempted to go back to the old things. Either because they were persecuted, and they were put into jails, they were put into arenas, they were trying to make them deny Jesus. So either because they were under persecution or misconceptions. I remember being young Christian in this new church that was evangelical Protestant. I was looking for the symbols I used to have in my Catholic background, and I could not hold anything. Sometimes I asked the pastor, could we at least have an empty cross, because even that was taken from that culture. In Brazil, all symbols are kind of bad. Even beautiful windows that you can see Christianity history in Brazil is not allowed, because all the confusion they brought together from 400 years. So misconceptions were there. They were looking for something to hold that they lost from all the system of the Judaism. But then we see here a writer who understands their mindset, who knows what they are thinking, who knows what they are being confused about, who knows the tension they were having of the things they just experienced to come to God's presence, and the easy way to come to God through Jesus. Now, they were kind of, hey, should we keep something? And then in this way, this writer understands, as nobody else understood, who was this mysterious guy called Melchizedek. You see, there are only four verses in the Bible. Three verses in Genesis 14. And then one verse in Psalm 110, 4. Only four verses in the Bible speaks about this Melchizedek, or the order of the Melchizedek, the king Melchizedek. No one else, nowhere else, you're going to find it just there. But this Christian writer inspired by God, got it. He got it. He understood. He made the comparisons. He saw what the Bible told, and he developed all the ministry of this high priest, Jesus Christ, according to the order of Melchizedek. And then you can see in Hebrews, chapters of it, chapter 4, 5, and goes until chapter 10, 11, you're going to see his understanding about it. Why? And that's why I'm not saying just Jesus the priest. I'm saying the priesthood of Christ. And I hope you now understand the difference, or not the difference, the addition and the go broadly. When I say Jesus, that is the same. He's the Son of God. But we have to understand when we Christians say Jesus, we say it all. But you have to understand he had a beginning. He was born. He lived. He died in his 33 years of age. And he raised. And he's alive in right hand of God. But Jesus, in one way, was born and died. Well, when we speak about Christ, we encompasses, we take all the life of Jesus, all the work of Jesus, but even we go beyond the work of Jesus before he was born as the Son of God, and after, as he is still working today. It's the same, of course it's the same. It's the Son of God, it's Jesus the Son of God. But in Christ, he was already operating by God's grace. So the Hebrew writer understood it. He understood somehow the Melchizedek was kind of Christ, was kind of Jesus, was a type, as many other types and epiphanies is there in the Old Testament about who Jesus is. There were shadows of him in the entire Old Testament under the Old Covenant to appoint, to address, to show later on the complexity and the clearness of who Jesus is. Many of them were anticipation of the appearance of Christ as the suffering servant, as the lamb of the sacrifice. We can be evangelized only by the gospel. We can learn actually about Jesus by faith and by the power of the Holy Spirit through only maybe one verse, John 3:16. One chapter of the Bible. One book of the Bible. But if we can have all, why not? So, let me give me some examples, how I see it, how God led me to see it in a way of fellowship. Abel, one of the first kids that were born, sons of Adam and Eve. Abel could represent Christ. First priestly ministry, when he presented his offering to God, you see? There was priestly ministry even before the law. Not according to Aaron or the Levites, but according to Christ. And Abel is one of the first. He presented his offering to God, and the offering was accepted differently than his brother. Amazingly, and I don't want to make a heresy here, but isn't it interesting that later on, the same one who offered his offering and was accepted was killed? His blood was shed? And Hebrews says, his blood is still crying until today. Doesn't remind you something? Of course, he wasn't a priest according to Aaron. Neither was Jesus. But according to this Melchizedek, the prince of Salem or Jerusalem, that is the idea of shalom or peace, that was a way that Jesus is presented according to the Hebrew writers. Because he was in the line of a king without a beginning or an end, so Jesus, our high priest, has always been the only way to God, even before all that complex system of Aaron. Since the beginning, and that was the thesis of this writer. He's trying to prove by telling Jesus is a priest according to Melchizedek that God always had a way to him through his priest or mediator. Until we're going to understand that we now need nobody but Jesus. And through Jesus, we go direct to the Father. When we see this, we can see that Jesus in Christ was already using people to represent the way to God. Because Jesus was the perfect representation of humanity and the perfect intercessor of his own people. When we look upon Jesus, we can see that despite of the wonders and signs, the healings and teachings, the messages and the comfort, his priestly ministry or functions made him very special and precise. Jesus did not once a year came in a relationship with God as the high priest in the Holy of Holies, but at all times. Present to God our sins, our problems, our diseases, our sickness, and all sorts of emotional, social, physical, spiritual problems to him. He intercedes to God on behalf of sinners. What was the experience of the Samaritan woman if it was not a priestly ministry of Jesus trying to help that rejected woman who had five failed marriages and now has a boyfriend that is not her husband, who has to go at noon in order to not be seen or be a scandal for others to get her water? What does Jesus do? He intercedes. He shows up. He made her peace with God. He brings himself as a revelation of the one who has water that never ends, never ceases. And she can come, and then she becomes the first missionary in that time. He brings all the village to Jesus. She becomes a priest of the order of Melchizedek. She becomes a witness. The paralyzed man. What a paralyzed person can do. Recently, I fell in my bathtub on the top of the flue. So I could not cough, and I needed to cough to be better. But if I cough, my ribs would kill me. So I'm sorry, you know. Terrible. I thought I was dying. Oh, I don't know why I said, because they paralyzed me. Why I said? Paul was thinking, why, man, Mars is going to go? I said, I don't know, I forgot. Okay. I wasn't paraplegic, but I felt like somebody who was saying at the hub says, you don't look good. I said, no. Say something else. This paralyzed man could do nothing, anything. Actually, he was brought by four friends. And what he heard, your sins are forgiven, and now stand up, take your mat, and go. What was it? That was the priesthood of Christ, the priestly ministry of Jesus, ministering, blessing, accepting, forgiving as the Son of God, as God himself, but as a priest who intercedes, he pays the price. He did it for all the apostles. When you see Jesus, if you want to see him in this way, with this pair of glasses, you're going to see Jesus from the beginning to the very end as someone who offers prayers for everybody. This is what his main job. This is why he was wake up earlier and would go later for anybody else to pray, to intercede, no ceasing for everybody. He prayed for Mary, for Lazarus, for kids, and probably, Derek is not here, he's over there, but you tell him, maybe for teens too. I believe Talita was kind of teen. He prayed, he blessed, he healed, he raised them from the dead. So Jesus was the offering, the high priest, but also the offering sacrifice. After the resurrection, in Luke 24:50, we read it. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and he blessed them. What is that? If you go in the past, and we don't have time, we read it, but it's all the peace, all the traits of the priest. Their job was to intercede, to ask forgiveness, and to bless. We have to understand, brother and sister, today, this is maybe is my aim today. We have to function more as those, because we have in us the same spirit, the same vocation, the same orientation to bless others. My kids that are not walking with the Lord, I should confess, and you have realized that, at least they don't come to church for a while. They never go out without asking my blessing. Never. Never. And sometimes I say, I can't. Oh, Dad, you won't bless me? No, because wherever you are going to go now, I'm not sure it's appropriate. So either you stay, I don't bless you. So they stay. It's not easy. The blessing is something very important. So Jesus, make the long story short, fulfilled the both sides that the high priest would need to do more than one thing. Jesus fulfilled the two aspects of the priestly ministry, one as an intercessor or the priest, and another as the sacrifice that was offered. John saw it by faith in Christ, because he hasn't done anything yet. He just was the beginning of the ministry. But the next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Sorry. So he saw in Jesus Christ, the high priest of the new covenant, offered the fine burnt offering in his body. He was wholly consecrated to God, suffering death for sin and bringing about the believer's death to sin. Romans 6:27 show us that, and we're going to learn it soon. Jesus Christ is referred to as Lamb of God. It's a symbol. Point is Christ being a perfect sacrifice. It also conveys his meekness and his willingness to submit to suffering and to die. So as the Lamb of God, he was going to be the perfect sacrifice. But also the traits of the Lamb was present in Jesus' life as an imagery of the Lamb, as innocent, as submissiveness, as vulnerable, as quiet suffering, as sacrifice, and so on. So how can we respond to that in this way? Maybe that's what the Hebrew writer was trying to. He says, we can call to keep the faith. So don't give up. Don't go the wrong way. Keep your faith in Christ, the author and consumer of faith. In the priesthood of Christ, we have an invitation to seek God's help in times of need. That's in him, in his priesthood. An invitation to draw near to God, no matter how difficult your life is, no matter how you messed up, no matter how far you think you are to God, the invitation, according to this book, is an invitation to draw near to God without being afraid. It's a call to run the race of faith. We see it in the Hebrews 11. No matter the cost would be, it's an invitation, a call to run the race of faith, and a call to offer thanksgiving and worship. So with that said, trying to come to the last point and final, the priesthood of all believers. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, you see now it's almost combined, both in one, a holy nation, a God's own people, and then the prophetic is also here, not only the priesthood, not only the royal or the king thing that we're going to learn, but the prophetic way. So this text brings this all together, that you may declare the wonderful deeds of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were no people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Romans 15, 16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Tim Keller again says, just as every believer is a prophet, understand the word of God now that Jesus has come, every believer is a priest, having access in the name of Christ, the great high priest, to the presence of God. As prophets, Christians call neighbors to repent, but as priests, they do so with sympathy and loving service to address their needs. This is why Jesus calls us to live such lives of goodness and service to outsiders that will glorify God in the Sermon of the Mountain. To be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be accepted, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. The same way people could not go to God, they need the priest and the high priests. Now we are priests of God. We are heard. We are accepted. We come in a relationship with God right away if you believe and if you are in the right name of Jesus, if you have had your sins forgiven. And so that God hears you. I always hear that, Marcio, God hears your prayer and Elaine's prayer much better and faster than our prayers that most of the time are not heard or, you know, accepted. But there is a reason. It's not Marcio and Elaine, it's all of us. Because we are also priests according to Christ. We come into his presence with no tremble of fear, applying to us as believers. Then we have a priestly work of daily offering ourselves as living sacrifices. And we offer a sacrifice of deeds of mercy, adoring worship to God. It's not that we don't do what they were doing. Nobody's here to sacrifice animals, to pray costly, to do all those kind of things. They were shadowed to show what Jesus did. But once Jesus did, we can offer our life as well. We can offer our gifts as well. We can present people to God. We can present the problems of people to God. Actually, it's a both end, and sometimes I play like that, but it was true. Sometimes I say to the Christian, bless yourself and bless others. Those hands, like the priest's hands, are to be laid down on people's head as well. And that's how God is going to hear and bless, because he promised. Concluding, Jesus said to the apostles, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, the Christ of God. But he charged and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. So Christ suffered for all, bearing our sins in his own body on the tree, healing us by his stripes, says Isaiah 53. He is our high priest, as he is our redeemer, because the cross at Calvary. So he can be yours and my intercessor. No one else are need. And I didn't get that when I was Catholic. I always need someone closer to me in order to go to God. And I wouldn't go like that. So he can be our intercessor, our mediator towards God. No barriers, no obstacles, no expensive offerings anymore. No need to wait here and now. There is spirit that they keep us every believer to be a prophet who brings the trust, a priest who sympathetically serves. So you can offer a worship service to the Lord here and now and always. And as well, presenting your friends, your relatives, and others to the Lord. May God bless you with His word. May God bless you with some kind of touching this theme that is the priesthood of Christ and the priesthood of believers. I hope that if you haven't been there, you just need Jesus and confessing Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord, as your high priest, who is holy enough, who is perfect to present you and bring you in the presence of the Father. And if you have done that, somehow are not being there often, it is our duty and our privilege to be in God's presence every day, consulting Him, hearing from Him, talk to Him, and be blessed by Him. And you and I are unique in this world. Firstly, as a prophet people, we are the prophetic voice of God in this world. And the world, you see it when the day comes, when the judgment comes. We are the prophet voice of God. Secondly, we are His priests. We are to make the long way for people short. We are to bring people in the name of Jesus. So bless yourself, being in God's presence, and bless others with the power, with the anointing, as it was in the priest, as it was in the holy priest, that I told you, it's written, was perfect and attained, but temporary, finished. Priests die, high priests die, they pass on, is outdated, but now we have in Jesus someone who is a priest forever in order to bless you and me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity you have given us to be here and to share something that you laid in my heart first, and now through the word, through the texts, through the expositions, you may bring one idea, one thought, one desire, one wish, and especially the passion to be in your presence. The passion to be blessed by the one who always is there for us, who always brings the heaven down, who always brings us up, who always takes the mess we make, the sins we committed, the wrongdoers, and make it clean again. No one could come in your presence with dirt hands, with impure hearts, with bad thoughts, but through you, we can be forgiven, we can be clean, we can come and tell you all the things we are happy for and all the things that we are suffering from. In the name of Jesus, we pray, thank you, and ask you to bless us and help us to bless others. In your name, in the priesthood of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen.